Amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah. We're going to begin there, and we're going to roam around for a little while and just going to see what God has to say in the midst of what he's doing right now. Isaiah 43, in fact, if you'd go there and just hold your finger in there for a minute, we're going to look at verses 18 and 19, a very familiar passage to us, but we're going to look at it and begin to walk as well. Just to show you a few things. Pastor Jay had asked me, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks ago anyways, he had asked me, he said, I really feel like, would you be ready to preach prophetically on what you see in the coming time, in the coming season? And at the time, I haven't done this for a little while in the sense, and usually, so what I have to do is I have to shift the way you're thinking right now into something. So meaning that normally we'll hear sermons like this, we'll hear them around either the first week of January or we'll hear them at the end of December or something where it's talking about the year that's coming and the time that's coming, the season that's coming. And right now, though, we're going to be ahead of the game. We're going to be ahead of what I'm going to say, but really trying to walk in what the Jewish calendar would be. I'm going to talk about a lot of different things here this morning, but the one thing I want to really, really focus on is that I believe that Jesus' hand is on the door and he's about to open a brand new season. I have been seeing this vision over and over and over again, and to the point where I would walk into a store and I would see the flash vision again, and Jesus, I would walk into the prayer room and there is the same vision again, and walk into my office and there is the same vision again, and I began to ask the Lord over and over again, what are you trying to say? What are you doing? And so in order to be able to really grasp this sermon this morning, we have to shift our mindsets that this particular thing is about what is coming. And it's not really that far off and not really that far. And I find it very remarkable that for the Jewish New Year, the season is just right after October the 6th. After that, just I think it's the Tuesday after in there. And we are breaking our fast on the 6th of October. It is that final service of this time. And I really believe that not only today, but God wants to speak on that day. And I believe he has some clear things that he is going to be saying on that particular day. I think that I want to share with you openly and honestly, as I always try to do, but even within this fast, Pastor Jay had said something a little bit ago, is that if you haven't started, it's not too late to begin. And I know that for me, you know, you may look at me strangely in this, but fasting has never been something that has been, that's been easy for me. I don't sit there and go, I know some people that actually fast every week. That's the way that they live their life, and that's fantastic and terrific. But God began to talk to me specifically about not necessarily fasting what I wouldn't have or what I wouldn't do in there, but to begin to fast in the way of feast. Now, that may sound strange, but to begin to add continually, begin to, in essence, that my language would become like the language of heaven, and that I would proclaim and proclaim and proclaim and declare and declare and declare. And this is, I think, where we are right now in the season. And I didn't understand it at first. I wasn't putting all these things together. I wasn't putting all the pieces together, but I hope to be able to right now walk you through and put all these little pieces together that will make sense. So, all of that to say, this, I believe, is what we are looking for, even as we approach this next season. If you've ever heard, some of you may not understand me in this, but if you ever heard the fact that last year in the Jewish calendar was 5779. Put up your hand if you know that, if you know what I'm talking about. I just want to take a sense of this. 5779 in that year. And it was our year of 2019. But when we begin to look at, I think the Hebrew language is absolutely amazing. There are so many hidden things within the language itself that when we begin to study, that God speaks in all kinds of ways. And so when we look at 5779, one of the things about that, we talked about this last year, was that is this, the nine is this letter tet. Okay, T-E-T, and it means to surround. But every letter, so even, for example, when we say it's an alphanumeric understanding of a language, and I'm probably butchering this, okay, in the way to say this, But for example, there are no nines, eights, sevens in that way. There are letters that represent nine, represent eight, represent seven. And so when we look at last year, this last year that we've had, even now 2019, we see that nine. And that letter is tet in there. And it means to surround. But if you look at the picture of it, it shows the picture of two different things. It shows this duality. And I really believe that when I begin to think about it myself, boy, that's been my life in the last year, is this duality to choose what I will see, choose what I will look at, choose what is allowed to get my attention. Because there is this double in, when you look at this letter, there is this sense of a basket or a womb in the picture, or is the sense of a coiled snake in the picture. Both are in there for this letter tet that is there. And so when we look at this, when we see this, we recognize that even in the last year, there has been so many opportunities, and I'm not sure your life has been this way, but mine has been so many opportunities to get focused on what the enemy is doing instead of focusing on what God is doing. In the midst of this right now, that in this last year has been about a womb. And to me, I am so excited where you are right now. I am so excited for Antioch right now. I am point to someone and say, he's excited for you. Come on now, you gotta have to work with me this morning in this front row. If anybody wants to get up and just come sit down here and encourage, that would be good too in there. But this womb, okay, this is a season right now in this last year of God beginning to do something. But at the same time, boy, the enemy has been at work. Boy, there's been stuff going on, even as of recent. And I'm going to share this just with you openly in this, that my mom fell 2 days ago in there, and she got to the bottom of her step of this little deck that they have out in front, and missed the last step and fell right onto the concrete. And has her leg, her ankle is so swollen. They're not sure if she's broken it. There's all kinds of things other things that are happened within this. And I tell you, you want to make me angry. You want to make me mad in this. And I rarely get angry, rarely get mad in this. But my mom had been just moving past some of these other things. And guess what the first thing she does when she can go out to the store? First thing she goes out to the store, as she shared the other day, she connects with this lady that she's known in the hair salon, and she's connecting with her and telling her about Jesus. And I mean, it's just so cool. This mom that, you might look at my mom in that way, and it's not that she didn't love Jesus. It's not that she didn't have encounters with God when I was growing up, but I don't know that mom, okay, in there. And she just walks into a store, okay, and all of a sudden, people come to her and start talking to her about the Lord. She'll sit down with someone and she can share with someone. And these things, but you look and go, right now, guess what the enemy wanted to do to me? Even preparing now, right, to come to preach this. He wants me to get to focus on what? You know, focus on that sense of what has happened. Focus on, well, you know, you better not get too excited, Rod. Look what's going on over here. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's that sense of being able to say, no. God's in the midst of birthing something. He's in the midst of doing something. And I will not allow a situation or an experience that is isolated on its own to become the language that I begin to speak of constantly. Right now, can I give you something if you're going to write down? It's important to evaluate what you're muttering. In this season that we're about to walk into, and I'll share a little bit more about this as we go along here, but it's important to, in this season, to recognize what you're muttering. And muttering is this. Muttering is to speak almost as if to be under your breath. Sometimes it might not even be under your breath. It depends. If you're in public, in the situations, you might not be muttering it out loud. If you're with family, you might be muttering it out loud and you might not be. But it's, what is this muttering? That what is the things that you're saying? What is the words that you're using? Because those words, I guarantee it, are beginning to define your environment, which is beginning to define what your expectation is, which will begin to define this whole next year ahead. For me, I would be able to say it this way. All of us have lots that we could mutter about, right? Come on now, muttering not necessarily, not always, it can be in the sense of that is more speaking the things of God in your voice. That's not really what I'm talking about with muttering. I'm talking about the fact of being able to use your voice to complain. Now, I know none of us are like that. Looking around here right now, and you say, I don't know who you're talking about in there. But if you really track it, you really look even at the people of Israel, What got them mostly in trouble? Muttering. What stole most of their opportunities? Muttering, complaining in this time. And I'm telling you, I seem to have at times a degree in it. I'm telling you, I have invested a fair bit of time into it. And you're going, God, what am I doing? And how would I say this is that all of a sudden you realize, anybody ever muttered something and thought it was under your breath and realized later it was a sort of out loud? And you went, and the person looks at you and you went, oh, was that out loud? It's like, ooh, I'm leaking. Okay, you know, whatever it might be. But this is this thing right now that our language or our voice, when we look at this last year, we've had this journey of walking through what we're about to now see God do. And so I started today with this illustration or this vision, sorry, of Jesus standing there with his hand on the door. And it's the strangest sight. I think I've shared it with a few people, but he's got a smirk on his face. Now, that means, and the door is, when I look at this door, there is so much going on behind this door. There is so much going on, so much activity behind this door. And his hand is on the door. His face is smirking, almost smiling, going almost as if to say, just wait and see. Just wait and see. In fact, it's like he's saying, behold, pay attention. Look over here. If you understand that even the letter for 5780 that we're walking into right now, that is this new year. And I hope I'm not leaving anybody, confusing anybody in this. But 5780 then is this new Jewish year that we're walking into. And it corresponds in essence with the year 2020. But when I look at 5780, there's so much depth and meaning in the midst of it. I believe, though, that what God is saying to us, been saying to me is, I made you ready. Stop looking at what the enemy's doing. Stop listening to the lies that he's saying to you. I've made you ready for the next season. In fact, this letter that's got to do with pay, which is, again, when I say 80, okay, so you're following with me here. This number 80 has a letter that is associated with just pay. And I think, Deshaun, did you find that particular? Yeah, there it is right there, okay? That is that letter that's there. Just leave that up there for a little while. And this is a representation of 80. It's representation of the year we were going into. And if you look within the Hebrew language, there is so much that we can find. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is going to happen. It means this is how we can connect with God this year. This is what is available to us this year to connect with God. Now, the beautiful thing is these things are also available to us all the time in Christ. But right now, this, I believe, is what God is paying attention to. This is what he's about to do. And this particular letter, pay, is very, very interesting. The symbol stands for a mouth. And when they look at it, when they look at those things, and you might say, I don't see a mouth in there. There's many ways, even in fact, if you go back to the old writings in the old way in which they would write. This is the letter from modern Hebrew right now, but old Hebrew literally would be a picture of a mouth in this. And I believe that what the Lord is saying in the midst of this is, in this season, last season was about eyes. It was about sight. It was about understanding. It was about the fact of to see something in this. But this season that we're about to walk into, guess what your most powerful instrument will be? Your mouth. And here is what I'm telling you, if you don't get anything from me today at all, what our mouths are simply the instrument that our heart uses to express what's going on. We have got to, where we're about to go, and I'm going to share that in a second, but what we're about to see in the midst of us requires us all to take a moment right now, take a moment even with God in this next season, and go, Lord, where does my heart need to be healed? Because I want the goodness of God. I want the expectation of God. So I'll give you my experience, my situation with when we began to see my mom's health begin to increase. Something begins to happen. Now this has begun to happen. I have to verbally out loud speak these words over and over and over again. This is not my God's plan. This is, come on now with me, this is not my God's plan in there. His plan is for my mom to be protected. His plan is for my mom to walk in health. His plan is for my mom to be out there in the stores connecting with people, just sharing the gospel. That's his plan for my mom in this situation. But when we look at this, this particular letter has so much to it. But before we even start there, and I'm going to try to get through all of this morning, lots of time today. Turn with me again, as I said, Isaiah 43, and here is your key to begin. In fact, I don't think that we will even be able to understand what I'm talking about if we don't start here. I'm not sure that we will grasp fully what I'm saying. And I've been asking the Lord all week to help me to be clear, help me to be concise, help me to say this the way you want it said. But here is where I want us to start is in verse 18. It's so familiar to us, but Isaiah 43 and 18 is the key to moving in to this next year. It says this, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now we know this verse so well, but I believe that before walking into this next year, and you might be asking, like, it's really hard to shift my brain right now, because if I was doing this in New Year's, we would all be in our, chemically, even in our brains, we'd be thinking about a brand new year. But I'm trying to open up our hearts and our minds to see what God has coming in this. I believe that that this word, when we talk about, even talking about declarations, even talking about having, in essence, the, how do I say this, Lord? Having, being able to push aside difficult experiences, have then healing come into our hearts so that we can even want to go through that next door. Do you understand what I'm talking about in this? That there is this sense of right now, I feel like yelling is what I feel like, and I'm trying not to. And I'm not trying to be, I've got to try to always watch myself, to, I'm not being critical in this, but I feel like yelling, and this is what I, you know, just hang on, okay? Those of you, I've learned to be able to do this, okay? But I feel like this, wake up! That's what I feel like, and yet I'm not taking it, so this is what the reaction is. It's wake up! See, I've been there, and Pastor Jay and I, we're so hilarious together because we are a lot alike in some ways, but boy, are we different in others, okay? Do you know that surprisingly, I am a natural introvert? Okay, the shock on all your faces right now. I am actually an introvert. If you gave me the choice to be with a whole lot of people or be by myself, I would choose by myself. That's the way I recharge. That's the way I connect. That's the, in a, connect with who, you might ask. Connect with myself. No, connect with God in this way. Even just how I build, in a sense, yourself up and whatnot. It is in that way. I am an introvert. Pastor Jay, an extrovert. Okay, in there. It's all connection. It's talking with people. It's being around people in there. But I believe that what we're talking about in this, though, is moving away from the idea that, he already said it. He kind of stole this, but I'm not talking about any more hiding behind the fact that I'm an introvert or even hiding behind the fact that I'm an extrovert. I'm taking all those things out of the way and I'm saying, I simply am a child of God and I'm going to respond to him. In this season right now that we're about to see this, of God opening this door. As I've said then, this is the symbol of the mouth. It is all to me about the fact that we have been preparing for the longest time here, for almost 5 to 6 years now, for this turn, for this change, for this decade change. And you might be asking me, is that you trying to pump this up? I'm not. I'm honestly not trying to do that. But here's what this we have been doing for almost 5 to 6 years. Before then, some of us here knew this phrase. We knew this understanding. We knew the power of our words. Okay, when I came here, even I can remember hearing, I've heard others somewhat before I came here. But you know that phrase is not really understood outside? Even these circles, you don't hear that phrase a whole lot. And specifically, I am shocked. I keep forgetting that most people don't do declarations. because you're in this environment, you're always around and whatnot, I forget that that's weird to people. Seriously, okay, in there. That they look at you like, huh? You're saying that, but it's not happening. You don't have that. Why are you saying that? You lying? What's going on? You know, and that they're so confused at times in this. But we have spent the last 5 to 6 years getting us as a congregation to begin to see the value for declarations, to be able to take understand the understanding of our tongue is powerful, and that we know that what comes out of our mouth begins to set our atmosphere and begins to even change the atmosphere. How many of us know that you are atmosphere changers? Do you know that you're not stuck in an atmosphere? That if you walk into a room and there's an atmosphere, you're not stuck in that? Do you know if you walk into church and you feel like, ooh, there's a heaviness? Do you know that you're not stuck in that? In there? Those are not yours to own. They are, in fact, yours to change. I'm not going to be the thermostat or the thermometer, on the wall that's going to be telling everybody what the atmosphere in the room is. I'm going to be the thermostat on the wall that decides, you know what? I like this. I like thermostats. I don't like heat. I want to walk in and I want to feel the cool when I walk into my house. I do not have it at 65, okay, in there, but I do have it kind of lowish, okay, in there. Everybody has their thing that they're willing to spend money on. Air conditioning is mine, okay, in there. You might say, okay, well, you know what? I don't go here. I don't do this. I don't do that. I spend money on air conditioning. Hallelujah, okay, in there, because I don't want to sit in my own house and sweat. I just don't want to do that, just sitting there. If I'm going to sweat, I'm going to go outside and do something. You know what I'm saying? In there. But I believe in the midst of this, though, that what God is saying in all of these things is our mouths need to become the thermostats that change our expectation and change our atmospheres everywhere we go. Not, and I'm going to say this, okay, in this, but not just Connie doing it. Do you know that she's been doing it since I've met her? Do you know that she's been saying this stuff for as long? I can remember back when she was teaching in the school, and any of you that are interns, you've heard this over and over and over again. Margaret Nikita has been saying this over and over and over again. Many of you have been saying it, and as the years have gotten closer and closer to now, many of you would say, well, I've been saying it, I've been doing it, I've been walking in it for years and years as well. But in the midst right now, there is this thing that's beginning to happen that we know, we recognize. Now, this is going to sound weird to you. Grab your tongue with your hand, your fingers. Now, you can't talk. I love Pastor Marilyn's face. She's like, really? I'm not doing that? Okay, in there. I get you, girl. It's okay. You don't have to do it. Okay, in there. But the idea in this is if you grab a hold of your tongue, now try to talk. It's really, really hard to do. Some of us in this next season might need to grab a hold of our tongues and stop them from waggling. Because it's the season that we're in right now that God has readied all kinds of blessings. He has readied to move into this new season. When I said to you that I could see Jesus with his hand on this door, behind this door is all kinds of opportunity in the midst of this. But I'm telling you, just like James teaches us, that our tongues can be like a fire that burns up the forest. Let me ask you a simple question. What do you use to build a house most places and most people? You use wood to build a house, right? Where do we get wood from? We get wood from a forest, okay, in this. When I see James saying that, I see it this way. The blessings that God wants to put in my life, that if I'm not careful in this, that my words can burn them up just like burning up a forest. And I need to be that my mouth is speaking forth the expectation and the faith of God. Are you with me? So this Hebrew meaning of the letter pay, which you see up there, it's this. It means mouth. As we said, it means opening, it means entrance, and it means to command. I think it's so cool how it goes with this vision that I've been having for a while now of seeing this opening, this door. But see, the symbolism in this, especially if you saw it and it's written in its old form, is the fact of this, to write down, this is almost the expectation that comes with this letter. Unspoken, but it's expected to come from this letter. And that is to speak, to open, And this is the word, to bring a beginning. I believe in the where that we're looking at. I even got to talk to a young couple, but I think 2 weeks ago here, when God was beginning to first stir this. And I saw this even in their own life, and I'm so excited of what God is going to do in their life in this next year. But this 5780, if you've got nothing, if you're not writing anything down, write this down. That 5780, that 80 on there, that reference is this. This is what I'm going to start to give you, a few things about the letter pay that is there. Huh. Put on the next slide, Sean, with the lowercase, or not, it's not really lowercase, it's just how you write it at the end of a word, or end of a sentence, sorry. When a word in Hebrew is at the end of a sentence, that's the way you write it. I think of it kind of like a lowercase, but it's not that. But if you see where, if you were looking at it as school teachers, those old, you remember when we were kids, some of you may not have done this now, but you'd practice cursive, and the book would have those little dots in the middle so that you could write, some of you have no idea, yes, okay, we're there. So the idea is to see that where that letter dips down and where that you see the dot, where it goes across, that's kind of like seeing the divide of the middle. So the letter goes down and goes below it. I think this is so cool that I was listening to one Hebrew rabbi, and he was talking about that this symbolizes the strength to go beyond. And it says it this way. He says it this way. It's the strength to go beyond what you know into the unknown with God to produce miracles. And it's something where, for example, specifically speaking, he talked about it this way. It's to be able to reach out and to influence in your communities, to be able to influence in your family, to bring influence, to go beyond what you normally right now have. So if you're going to me, you're saying to me, well, I don't have any influence in my family. I mean, expect in this year for this to begin to change, that God is going to put us in places to influence. Now, here's what I have a question for you. First question of the day. How many of you are willing to be an influencer? I'm asking you, literally a question right now I'm asking you. Okay. I needed you to put up your hand because of this. Because God is one that doesn't push anybody to do anything. But in our world right now, we need influencers. We need people in their jobs. We need people in the workplaces in that way. We need people that are going into the stores. We need people everywhere they go to see themselves before they arrive as influencers. Influencers are this, not for the sake of our gain, but for the sake of their gain, so that we can begin to speak into their lives and see this change begin to happen. So this is part of what pay is. It says, it talks about the power to move beyond or go beyond. Even the fact of, for me, it was kind of cool. I'm even in my class right now, I'm talking about being unstuck. And this letter literally has this part to it, the power to become unstuck. When I think of a mouth, and I'm going to try to be very specific here in this, when I think of a mouth, I think of two things. We understand that a mouth can build or a mouth can destroy. I find it interesting that Pharaoh, when Moses is going to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go, Moses is 80, which is the number here, right, for 80, for just pay. Moses is 80 at this time. It's so interesting to see that Moses is the voice that's bringing out the word of the Lord. But do you know that Pharaoh translates. When it's translated from Hebrew in there to understand it, it means mouth of evil. It's crazy to think of this. But it's a mouth that speaks evil and slander. And so you see these two opposites that everywhere that I go, I am ready for God to use my mouth. Because the Lord knows that I've been using it for a long, long time. Come on now. I am ready for God to use my mouth. I am ready for him to speak to me and to change and transform the world around me. Pay also represents this. And those of you that here, I'm going to say it this way. Please, this is for everybody and not for a few. Like when we talk about evangelism is for everyone and not a few in this. Our lives are evangelistic. Amen? And we're not waiting, although somebody might have a call upon their lives. Our lives, evangelism is not as much of an action, is as much as a thought process that everywhere that I go, I'm going to reach somebody. Come on, that's really what it is. But in this, pay represents prayer. And I believe that in this next season that we are called, I am telling you, we need to get on our faces. It was said earlier, even when Joy was speaking about this,
a prayer and intercession and to get on our faces before the Lord, spending time there. I find it really cool that Moses prayed 80 days for God not to destroy the Jewish people at the time around, when the golden calf and all this was going on. And this is this sense of intercession. Pay has intercession at its roots. This church has intercession at its roots. And I'm going to say something that I hope doesn't offend, but intercession is not for old people. Now, it's not that older people can't come to intercession, but they don't even see themselves as old. I guarantee it. Those that are in the prayer room, they are so spunky that they don't even see themselves as old. Intercession is not about being, in essence, about doing it one way. It is about offering your heart to God, that you would step in the gap for somebody else and to pray and to intercede. This is what I'm talking about when I see this next year. I believe with all my heart that intercession is going to get crowded. Come on now. It's going to get crowded. But here's how it will get crowded. It will get crowded if you believe me and then put action to it. It will get crowded if, for example, we now go, so when was that next prayer meeting is on October, and we write it down, we put it in our calendar, and we don't sit. Now, hear my heart in this. I always struggle with the fact because I don't like, I am trying to ease you into something, and I'm not supposed to do that. Here's the deal. We want to move forward. We got to get on our face and pray. It is just the way it is. It's got to be. But here's what I would love to see. I want to see kids in intercession. I want to see youth in intercession. I want to see families in intercession. You say, well, you don't understand. You don't know what my kid's going to do when he comes in intercession. If I say it, we're going to be ready for it, okay, in this. Because it's not a matter of being able to have everything perfect, right? It's not a matter of saying, so everything ran well tonight. No, it's a matter of getting on our faces before the Lord and beginning to declare with a voice, with a what? With a voice, what he's saying. In this next season, God wants to use you. Point to somebody beside you. You. He wants to use your voice in prayer. He wants to, listen to me now, he wants to remove the lie that some of you have that prayer is cool, it's good for some people, but it really doesn't work. He wants to remove that lie from your mentality over this next season so that you begin to say, so Lord, I'm ready to go on a journey with you. Not the fact of I'm just going to step out in bold faith. No, saying, Lord, I'm ready to go on a journey with you. I am ready to spend time with you and intercede and pray. I am ready for you to say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for this person at this time. And I am on a journey, Lord, that you're going to show me why. You're going to show up and all of a sudden it's going to find out that they needed somebody to pray for them at that moment. But here's what I'm talking about. When I say intercession, I don't want us to allow our brains anymore to think of anybody. Come on now, I'm trying to be very specific with you in this next season, because my brain even does that. What I mean by that is, and hear me, I'm not taking away from the years and years and years and years that Mary has sown into intercession. She has sown into this church years and years and years. But it needs to change right now from the fact of when I say intercession that we think of Mary and we think of a few others. We think of who? We think of that's who we begin to think about. And in those moments, then when we all get together, boy, Mary, wouldn't you like it if that was packed out? Now, just come on now. It would just be awesome. And it doesn't, you might say, yeah, but I don't know what to do. I just feel like it's even a little strange. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I would just be standing there. Do you know that we'll just take a warm body? Come on now. You just get in that room and just stand there and you're interceding. You're with us in this. And you say, well, I don't have to say anything. Not right now, you don't. Just come, be involved with us. But I tell you what we do in intercession, we don't make people pray, but we say, everybody, I believe God will speak to everybody to pray. And when we even come on Tuesday mornings, I believe that it's not just me coming in and I pray all that time, is that we walk together in prayer. Intercession is this key in this next time. Here's another cool thing about, go back to the other one. You notice the little dot in that in the middle there, but go back to the other one for a second. Another symbolic meaning of pay is divine healing. And what this is that it comes from this word is in this particular verse where it says, I am the God, your healer. This letter shows up in the midst of that. And what it is, the pay without a dot refers to divine healing. The pay with a dot refers to doctor's healing. Because what they'll say in the midst of this is, when the doctor heals, and we like doctor healings, right? Come on now, I love what the doctors can do right now in this. But when the doctors sometimes heal, he sometimes leaves a mark, right? Sometimes there's a scar. But what they say is when God heals, he does a pretty amazing work and a complete work in this. This is what I'm talking about over this next season. How many of you believe that our congregation is strong in the prophetic? I didn't say I am strong. Our congregation is, yes, our congregation is strong in the prophetic. I love 2 weeks ago, I think it was when we did the, somebody help me remember, baptism was 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that I came in here and I didn't have to prearrange in the weeks before, give somebody a month to think about becoming part of, to go back in the room, prayer room with us and to prophesy. I literally walked in the room and walked over and said, would you like to come with us and prophesy for after in there? Would you like to come with us? Would you like to come with us? Would you like to come with us? Because there are so many of us now that can begin to do this. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing in this? And it doesn't mean that you have to have a gazillion words. Do you know that some of the best prophetic words are not long, but they're powerful because they have the DNA of heaven behind them in this. But when I think of this now, I think of us walking together. I think our next, though, listen to me very carefully, I think our next is transformation according to divine healing. I believe that we are going to begin to see all of you, point to each other, released in divine healing. Do you know that the God of the universe lives inside of you? He's not outside wanting to get in if you've accepted him as your Savior and Lord. He lives on inside of you. And the power of God flows through you to be able to heal the sick. Now, we all know it's Jesus. We all know it's what God does and him working through us. But over and over and over in Scripture, you'll find that they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They laid hands on the sick, and even to the point of seeing demons cast out and those that were in bondage delivered and instantaneously changed. Are you ready for this? And I'm not talking about trying to hype you up to be able to do things. I'm telling you, his hand is on the door. We have been preparing for years and years and years for this. We have been preparing in a sense of when we see this mouth. Do you know that Pastor Claude has been teaching and teaching and teaching, not just today in this course. He's been teaching about divine healing now here for years. We have had a team. Put up your hand if you were on the Saturday team. You came. You have a team that's faithful to come year after year after year. How many of you were on that team and no one showed up on a particular day? Come on now, you were there, but you were still there and you were a part of it. I believe I've seen healings begin to happen here. House of Hope, our House of Hope is about to, it's been put into this incubator so that we could get it right, get it sort of worked out. But God's about to take it and move it out. And House of Hope, if you don't know what that is where we come here. We invite the community, our friends, our family to come in. And we have prophetic rooms over on the one side where they can hear and receive a word from the Lord to encourage them, to build them up, to strengthen them according to Ephesians. But also in the other rooms is that we're beginning to have healing rooms. We've had healing rooms to begin to see divine healing happen. I expect, I'm going to put it really boldly and stick myself right out in the end of the branch. I expect to see the book of Acts begin to happen here. I expect, now here, notice what I did? You didn't notice me? All these fingers were pointing here when I said here. I'm expecting the book of Acts to happen here. I'm expecting it to happen there. I'm expecting divine healing to happen when you walk into a store. I'm expecting that the Holy Spirit is going to be such a part of your language that when you walk into a store, I don't do this fully yet. I need to do this more and more. That I walk into a store, I immediately am sensitive to what the Holy Spirit says. That when he says, Rod, see that guy over there? He needs prayer. Now, when my heart is pounding out of my chest, I just about pass out at times. Now, again, you go, why? How this is what I rebuke myself with, okay? And it's a good rebuke. It's a nice rebuke. I love myself, okay, in this. But I rebuke myself in this because the minute I do that, I just thought I was the one that heals. Yep. I just took responsibility. I just took all the weight onto me. However, if I begin to say, this is what you want to do, Lord, and I begin to be an involved spectator to watch God begin to do something. Do you know that it doesn't mean that I'm perfect when I pray for people? It doesn't mean that I got it all together. It doesn't mean that my life is a perfect example. So in other words, that I can be used by God. I will be waiting for an eternity if that's the case. But this letter, this time, this season, this 80, this moving into this new year, it has so much divine healing connected to it. You'll see this really the second last thing here I want to share with you today. When you look at this pay, oh Lord, I love this. In the middle, can you see? Now, I should have put the letter up there so that you could see what it was, but there's a hidden letter in the middle of it. If you look inside, and that's actually it's the second letter in the Hebrew language, bet, or some say bez. And what this letter is, it is hidden in there, but this is the first letter that you find actually in the Bible. And what it is, this letter, bet, it means it has a wide range in the sense of there is so much other things involved, but I just want to take this one part. I don't have the time to go through the rest of it this morning. I'll take this one part to this. Is that in this letter is when God said, he said, in the beginning, God created. That letter there, bet, is the creation letter. It is what some people call the God spark. It is what some people call the sense of when God began to speak and everything began to change. I really believe, oh, Lord, help me. I really believe that some of you are about to experience life transformation and change. But listen to me before you say something. That's for the purpose of your family and your coming generations. I believe that the next change, and I'm not talking about just so that I can see a painful situation stop. I want those things to happen. But that when our minds and our hearts and our eyes begin to change focus, and we begin to believe that in the midst of this situation, that God wants to bring a Genesis moment in my life. Come on, say this with me. God wants to bring a Genesis moment in my life. And that is a creative moment. That in the midst of changing, what does the scriptures talk about in Genesis, the beginning of Genesis? And it was void, darkness was on the face of the earth, and there was void. Okay, it was empty. I really believe that in this next season, God is equipping all of you to begin to see people have an encounter with God that changes that void, that emptiness inside of them, to a creative moment where they experience the power of God. Are you with me? I'm not explaining this well in this, but I see it like this. Some of you have been soldiering on. You've been doing your best. You've been going and going and going and going. I believe now, this next season is the season where God takes everything that you have been faithful in and begins to transform it into, I'm trying to be careful with my words, I'll just use the words that are here, into a new reality that expresses how much God loves everyone around you. I believe that in this next season, this last thing is this. The last word is this, is that it also means breath. Breath of God. Can I just be blunt with you? I always say that. I ask permission, don't I? And then I just do it anyways. And then I make a joke about it. Yeah. Dear Lord, help me. I do. I need the breath of God to do any of this. I need the Holy Spirit to so fill us. Fill us, fill us, fill us. To be able to do any of this. It's thought in, if you talk to it's thought this, that every person has a psalm that they should read every year over and over and over again. And it's the psalm that if, for example, I'm 52, so I should be reading the psalm that goes with my 53rd year, because that's what I'm in right now. And so all of us have this, and the psalm will begin to speak to you all year long, in that time. And some of you might sit there and look up that right now and go, ooh, that sounds really awesome. Or yours might be, well, I'm not sure what that is about. But what it is it's an adventure to go on with God. To be honest, I think all it is for is to get you in the Word more.
right? And it's to get you hunting more and to get you seeing where you show up in the Word of God and what He's speaking to you about. But one of the beautiful things is I want you to do this with the last thing here today. Two more things. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 81. I'm going to read it to you in this particular translation. Psalm 81. And the reason I'm saying Psalm 81 is because this new year is 5780, and so we're really going into the 81st year. And so if we look at this, we look at Psalm 81. Where are we? Here we go. When I talk about this being all about our mouths, right, about speaking, about declarations, about what we're saying, and then this is what this verse, let's go to verse 10 here. It says, I am your only God, the living God. Wasn't I the one who broke the strongholds over you and raised you up out of bondage? Open your mouth with a mighty decree. Let me read it in the King James here, the New King James. In Psalms 81, here it is here. And it says this in verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I believe that this is something that is there for us as well in the midst of this next year, of Him being able to be filling us, that if we will open our mouths wide, and that means, for me, that means the ability to say, Lord, here am I. I'm, as it said in Isaiah in the beginning, I'm stopping everything else. I'm stopping asking why in the last season, and I'm saying, here I am, Lord, in this new season. Use me. Walk with me in this. Psalm, let me just go over to this one. Psalm 119. I love this. I don't know if you know this. I just love exploring. Do you love exploring in the Word of God? I just think it's really cool when we can do that. So those of you that might know, some of you might not know, the Psalm 119 is really broken up into the Hebrew language. And each section is for a Hebrew letter. And if you go over to verse 129 of Psalm 119, and I will close with this. If we could just have somebody come back to the piano just for a second to help me wrap this up. 129, it says, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my what? I opened my mouth and panted. In other words, that I was getting everything possible from you, for I longed for your commandments. And then these verses, look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let, this is good, and let no iniquity or no sin have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down my cheeks, because men do not keep your law. What I think that simply means is, Lord, break my heart. Could you stand with me today? I hope that I have expressed this, but I want to close with this. I have a challenge for you to get ready. I have a challenge for you, and it's this. To begin to every single day have a declaration. You can make declarations from the Word of God, and that's the best place to go. But to take a scripture from the Bible and begin to declare it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And to begin to see, go on this journey with God of saying, Lord, okay, here I am. I'm going on a new journey with you in prayer. I'm going to expect you to begin to speak to me. I'm going to expect to be able to intercede. Lord, I'm going on a new journey, Lord, of seeing divine healing beginning to show up in such a way that miracles begin to happen all around me. Here I am, Lord. I walk away from the former things. I stop. And I walk away from all that other stuff. And I set my expectation that God, you want to step into my life in this next season and bring such a dramatic Genesis moment. Lord, I thank you that you have been blessing us. I thank you that I've seen your hand, Lord, time and time again in our lives. But this is different. This is turning the page of a brand new decade. Turning the page of a brand new season. And we say this, Lord, I offer you my mouth in this season, that I will declare from a healed heart what I expect to see. So then I can see it begin to happen. Let me just read one last thing to you. Psalm 119. Verse 29. One translation puts it this way: your marvelous words are living miracles. No wonder I long to obey everything you say. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insights into your plans. I open my mouth and inhale the word of God because I crave the revelation of your commands. Thank you, Jesus. So you're ready. You know what? Just open your eyes and look at me. You're ready. I don't know if I explained everything today well enough or not, but catch this. You're ready for this next season. You. I can see a bunch of you going, it ain't me he's talking about. But it's you. You are ready. You have been declaring for years. You've been setting your heart right in this last year. So many of you have gone through such a difficult, difficult journey. But you are saying in the midst of these difficulties, God, I am not going to let my heart be poisoned. I am going to open my heart up to you for more and more healing. That out of my mouth will come the expressions of my heart that are filled with your word. So Lord, I thank you now. God, I pray as we go into this next season, this next year, even as now we're finishing up this fast, I believe we are going to see two miracles physically on October 6th. That last day of the feast, we're going to begin to see hearts begin to so change. We're going to begin to see salvations. We are going to begin to see a divine healing all on October 6th in the midst of what you're doing. God, I thank you. I don't want to miss out on what you're doing in your name.